Hello everyone, a very warm welcome to the latest episode of the Travel Podcast. So nice to have your company. Now today, are you ready to go down under? We will be talking all things Australia with a lovely guest that we work very closely here at Not Just Travel. Nick, welcome to the podcast.
Hi, Hayley. Hi. Really glad to be here. Really lovely to be able to share some insights into Australia today.
Oh, fantastic. Because I think that is a bucket list destination for so many people, isn't it? And because it is literally the other side of the world, there's loads of information that I know you're going to share that's going to make anyone who's considering a trip their life so much easier. Destinations, itineraries, tips and tricks. So we're very lucky to have you today, and I am excited to dive into the chat because I've not yet been. But just to start off, Nick, if you want to just introduce yourself and a little bit about yourself and gold medal, that'd be great.
Yeah, so thanks, Hayley. So yeah, so I'm Nick and I work for Gold Medal as a trade partnership manager. So basically my role is that I look after agents, travel agents, home working agents with their own businesses and help them basically to, I guess, get more information and gen up on different destinations and give them lots of offers and inspiration really to, you know, so that, yeah, they can go out to their customers and give them lots of inspiration. Yeah. So that's my role. And I work really closely with you guys as well. It's very exciting. And I also get I'm really lucky that I work for a business that's a long haul tour operator. So I do get to host quite a lot of familiarization trips for agents where we take them out overseas to experience the destination. And then, of course, they can come back and they can tell the customers firsthand. But today's really useful, Hayley, because I was lucky to do one of those trips last year to Australia. So, yeah. So hopefully I've got lots of things that I can tell everybody about.
Brilliant. Well, we will draw on your expertise, Nick. So was that your first visit to Australia, the trip that you went on last year?
But no, I have been before. So I went when I was in my 20s. I was probably about mid-20s, and my other half at the time was playing cricket out there. So they do kind of a reciprocal deal where some of the UK clubs, they can go out and play cricket. So he was over there. So we went for 6 weeks. So I have been, but it was a long time ago. I'm saying in my 20s, but that is a long time ago, Hayley. So I was lucky enough then to stay in Adelaide and go up to Ayers Rock and do a camping trip and go to Sydney as well. But quite limited time then. So last year was superb because it was a jam-packed itinerary and it gave us, I guess being that little bit older as well, I kind of like got to experience it from a different perspective as to when I was in my 20s.
Were you like me, Nick? Did you grow up watching Home and Away and Neighbours and things like that?
Neighbours. I did, yeah, exactly. I didn't see Jason Donovan and Kylie Minogue though, when I was there. And I haven't been to the set of Neighbours, but yeah, absolutely. It's an amazing place, Hayley. Honestly, I think... for me, I mean, I knew when I went sort of 20 odd years ago that it was somewhere that it's so huge. It's such a huge country. I mean, you travel then, we flew from Adelaide up to sort of Uluru in the Red Centre, and it's like a 2.5 hour flight, which is like us going to Mallorca, let's say. So it's a huge country. It's got so much on offer. There's so much to do out there. And I think a lot of people probably, think, well, it is really far away. It's a long flight. It's 24-hour flight. But do you know what? I thought the flights were a breeze, to be honest. I thought they were excellent. We flew out with Qantas last year. There's loads of different airlines that go, whether it be Emirates or I know like Turkish Airlines are starting some new routes as well. So it's really, really accessible from the UK. And with that, because there's a lot of flights that go out, then the flights, the pricing's quite competitive as well. So it is a really good destination, you know, to be visiting. And I guess post-pandemic as well, they're back up and running. Everything's back on, you know, everything's back on the map. So if anyone's been thinking about it, then I would absolutely say do it. Just do it. Just go. You've got to go because I don't think it will be the first time or the last time that you go. I think it's, unless you've got like 12 months to see the whole destination, it is one of those areas where, because it's very different, because it has all the different territories out there, it, you know, you will go back again and again. So it's all good. But on the flights, so just to sort of talk a little bit about the flights with Qantas. So we were really lucky. We flew out from London and we were lucky to fly on the A380 with Qantas. So it went via Singapore and we landed for about an hour and a half in Singapore, where we just got a chance to kind of stretch our legs and get off the aircraft and, you know, go into the terminal and get a coffee, etc. But we were really lucky because we travelled in premium economy on the A380, so which means that we were upstairs in the aircraft where you've got business and then you've got premium economy. So that was a really, really nice touch. But the service was amazing with Qantas. I thought that the cabin crew were brilliant. Always the food was great, and obviously the service that they provide. Seats were really comfortable as well. And I think for me, because I do travel quite often, I always, and again, quite a top tip for customers, I always take in my hand luggage, I always take like a change of clothes for on the fly, you know, something to change into something a little bit more comfortable, really, whether it's like a sweatshirt or something and leggings, and you just, you know, and there's lots of films, etc., that you can watch. So it does really pass the time, I have to say. It was brilliant. And on the way back, we did the same with Qantas via Singapore, but we did economy. So it was really good because we got to see the difference between the premium economy and also the economy offering that they had. But again, economy on the return on a night flight, I think it was, again, we flew back Brisbane to Singapore. We had quite a lengthy layover in Singapore, but I think that first part was about 7 hours. And then the second part back to London was 12 hours. And I actually slept for 8 of it because it was a night flight. So we kind of had our dinner and what have you. And then it was lights out, and they're really good on the airlines. You know, they turn the lights off so everybody can get rest. And yeah, I was quite, I think that's why the flights were, why it's, you know, not put me off to go again, because it was just brilliant.
Well, it's important to talk about that, because I would say that, and myself included, that's the one hesitation that I have with that trip, is that daunting thought of, wow, a 24-hour journey time. But as you say, when you realise that it's broken down so that you will have the opportunity to stretch your legs, like you say, to have a coffee or even a little bit more time in somewhere like Singapore. And then when you consider that during some of that time, obviously, would be when you would normally be sleeping, to sleep for 8 hours and wake up and you've got 2 left. I mean, that's a dream. I know there are people that unfortunately just cannot sleep on flights, but I would say presumably it's just, if you can put up with it, it's worth it in the end, isn't it, to see something incredible.
Exactly. And I think as well, the flight offering that you have, if you were to go with somebody such as Emirates, then you would fly via Dubai. So you can, and then I would recommend that they have a stopover there and maybe do a couple of, you know, nights in a hotel. You can do, I guess, Cathay Pacific. You can go out via Hong Kong, Singapore Airlines. You can go via Singapore and do a couple of nights. And then it really breaks the journey up for everybody, you know. But Qantas do a direct service into Perth, which I think is about 17 hours. So if you wanted to get on and not get off until you got there, then there is that offering there as well.
Wow, I didn't know that was possible. That's good to know that there is that direct to Perth now. That's quite incredible, isn't it?
Yeah. So there's lots to offer, definitely lots to offer. And of course, lots when you get there as well.
Yes. And just before we move on, because you are such a seasoned traveller, do you have any other tips when it comes to flying and traveling? Because obviously it's a massive part of the job that you do at Gold Medal, isn't it, to do the travel side of the business?
Yeah, I mean, obviously when you are flying, they've got lots of entertainment on there. Take a good book with you. Make sure you download lots of things onto your tablet or your iPad before you go. You know, I think for me, if I do that, if there's something particularly that I'm watching and you know, you kind of think, right, well, that's an hour long series, so I'm going to download 7 of those, and then you've 7 hours done, you know, that type of thing. Drink plenty of water. Obviously, they do have drinks on the flight, but always keep yourself hydrated with lots and lots of water as well, because that does make you feel better. The majority of the long-haul airlines now, or most of them, they do give you like a little amenity pack that has your toothbrush and your toothpaste and everything in there. But I do take my own, always take my own so that I can freshen up with things such as that. And a neck pillow as well. I'm sure most people have those, but they're very handy. And certainly on the Qantas flights, they had, you know, when the headrest comes round, and it kind of, that was really good. I think that really helped on the way back for sleeping and stuff. But no, it's, it's, I think you've just got to think, look at where you're going to when you get to the end. You know, it's worth it in the end. It really, really is.
And I also think it is a state of mind, because there's two ways of looking at it. You can look at it and go, wow, 24 hours of travel time, this is a nightmare. Or you can actually say, actually, it's hours and hours of peaceful time or entertainment time that you never get in your day-to-day life. I mean, busy working people, busy parents, when do you ever get time to binge watch your favourite series back to back? Or when do you get the time to indulge in your favourite book? Or maybe just shut your eyes, relax, listen to music and not have to go anywhere or do anything. So I think when you actually turn it around in your mind, you can enjoy the flight and see it as a treat, because you got no choice. You've got to chill out.
Yeah, absolutely. I think as well, you know, I take like, buy some snacks in the airport and everything. Half of them I don't end up eating, but you know, you've got it there then, haven't you? But they do give you snacks and things on board, and they always have, which was really good on the flight, is they always have in the galley, you know, like water and juice available all of the time. So even if you were at your seat and you thought, you know what, I just want a drink, I want some water, then you can just go and help yourself, which is brilliant. So all of that, you know, they really look after you. So don't let it put you off, basically. You need to go, Hayley.
Yes. Right. Well, let's dive into the actual experience itself. So where did you land on your last trip? Where was your first port? Where is the first place that you went to?
Yeah, so we were really lucky. So we flew out to Sydney and landed into Sydney, and then we headed straight up to the Hunter Valley, to the wine region, for a couple of nights stay there. So that's about a 2.5 hour transfer. And then we stayed at a beautiful little resort called the Hunter Valley Resort. But there's plenty of resort, like little hotels and you know, resorts throughout the Hunter Valley. But it's beautiful. It was. I don't know what I expected, really. Obviously, it's the wine region. There's a lot of vineyards there. But it was just lovely. And it was really, really a relaxed sort of area and destination. So when we stayed at the Hunter Valley Resort, we stayed in kind of like, the rooms were like little chalet type rooms. It was a little bit like... gosh, there was an on-site restaurant and bar, and it was family run, which was lovely. So it's a bit like home from home. And then we were lucky, we did 3 wine tours. So we were picked up and we visited 3 vineyards and did wine tasting at them all. Highly recommend it, especially if you do like your wine, because the wine is absolutely fabulous. You know, whether it's the whites, the reds, or the sparkling wine that they do. The champagne, etc., the Prosecco. So we did that, and we went and visited the different vineyards, and you know, they give you some sort of cheese and biscuits, and then you do wine tasting. I think we had about 9 wines in each of the vineyards, and we did 3 of them in one afternoon. So that was quite fun. Everybody was a bit jet lagged, but it was great. But would highly recommend it. And then the next day, we did an amazing bucket list experience. So the next morning, we were up about 4 o'clock, and we did a hot air balloon, sunrise hot air balloon ride, which was just amazing. I've never done anything like that before. So you kind of like, everybody gets into the truck, into the vehicle, and you head out into the fields, the middle of nowhere, and then they fire up the hot air balloon, and then you get in the basket and off you go, 3,000 feet up in the air, see the sunrise. It's just stunning. And like, you know, you could see the kangaroos below you, like running through the fields, and Hayley, it was just superb. So I would highly recommend that. And then we came back and we had a champagne breakfast, which was a lovely way to top it off. So a really good bucket list experience. And then after a couple of nights there, we went back down to Sydney. And then we stayed in Sydney. We stayed at the Park Royal in Darling Harbour, which is a lovely four-star hotel right in Darling Harbour, which is lovely. So you can walk out from the hotel and, you know, the restaurants and shops, etc., all around there. And it's one thing I found with Sydney was it is really good to walk around. I think when you see it, when we see it on the you know, on the TV, and you think it's like a huge destination, it is really, really easy to get around. And we were lucky because we had one of the girls from Tourism Australia with us, and she was actually from Sydney, although she lives in London. So she did us a walking tour in the afternoon. We went down to the Circular Quay, which is where you've got the Opera House down there. We had a drink in the Opera Bar, which is, I think you've got a picture of me somewhere drinking an Aperol Spritz in front of the Sydney Harbour Bridge, but that was the Opera Bar down in Circular Quay. It was absolutely fantastic on the first day in Sydney. Highly recommend it. There's plenty of places to stay in Sydney, whether they want a three-star hotel or whether you want a five-star hotel. The options are all there for you. And then we went, I'm carrying on here. It's so exciting. We just did 7 days there. We did so much packed into it.
It's nice to know that you can go for a week and actually cover quite a lot, because again, for some people, I mean, I know a lot of people understandably think, wow, if you're doing a 24-hour kind of flight, you want to be there for at least 2 weeks, 3 weeks, but that's not possible for everyone. So it's actually really nice to hear how much you managed to achieve in 7 days. So if people have that shorter window, don't rule out Australia, because it sounds like a lot can be done, Nick.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think because we did have that much in the itinerary, you don't really feel any jet lag. You don't feel the tiredness. You just kind of keep going and you keep doing all these exciting things. And, you know, then it helps on the way back. Maybe that's why I slept for 8 hours on the flight home, do you know? So yeah, highly recommend it. But the next day when we were in Sydney, we went to a lovely little place called Bronte Beach, and we did a coastal path walk over to Bondi, and then we did a surf lesson on Bondi Beach, which, you know, you can book all of this and do a surf lesson. Now, I'm going to be honest here, Hayley, I didn't get on a surfboard. I'd fallen off my horse a few weeks before, so I was like, I'm going to put the wetsuit on and I'm going to go paddling, but the other guys, they all had a go, and it was just fantastic. You know, we had the proper Aussie guys there, you know, from the surf team helping out, and it was just a great experience. We had lunch there, all very chilled, and then we went to the Opera House and did a private tour of Sydney Opera House, which again, you can do, you know, we can pre-book all of that for customers, and we did a private tour, which was, do you know what, it was amazing. And again I you know, I wasn't really sure what to expect. I didn't know whether it was my thing, but it was fascinating to be in the Opera House. And, you know, we see it on New Year's Eve, don't we, with all the fireworks and the Harbour Bridge and everything. You can even walk over the Harbour Bridge as well, which is something that we sort of thought about doing, but we didn't have time, unfortunately. But you can do the walk over the bridge if you wanted to. But yeah, we did that, and then to top it off in the evening, we did a sunset dinner cruise around Sydney Harbour. So we had a three-course meal and a few wines, and set sail from Darling Harbour and went all the way around Sydney Harbour, under the bridge, past the Opera House. You know, it was absolutely stunning. So I really, really loved Sydney. It was amazing. And then we went up to, the next day we flew up to the Sunshine Coast. So that's on the east coast of Australia. So you've got the Gold Coast, and then above that you've got the Sunshine Coast. And we flew to a place called Malulabar. And it was like a whole different experience again. I don't quite know how to describe it. It was a beach destination. And when we landed into the airport, it was a really small airport. I think the flight was about an hour and a half from Sydney, and it was a really small airport. And it was like being in I don't know, like the Caribbean. It was really tropical, you know, like we landed up there and then we went to Malula Bar, which is the resort that we stayed in, the area that we stayed in. And we actually did some apartments up there, which was great. It gives customers the opportunity to self-cater for themselves. But it was a lovely little resort with loads of different restaurants. It had a really nice marina there, which had some restaurants on. It was just lovely and really, really relaxed. So we got up one morning at 5:30 in the morning because the girl from Tourism Australia said, when you're in Oz, you've got to get up early, see the sunrise on the beach, get a coffee and have a walk on, you know, like the promenades. They all have like the footpaths that run across the front. And I'm not kidding. When we got down there, there was people running. They were walking their dogs. They were just walking with a coffee, you know, before work.
Yeah.
There was people of varying ages. There was people going for a morning dip in the sea.
Nick, my friend is actually there at the moment, and she's been in Sydney, and she was sending me a message saying, "What's so lovely is they have this pre-morning routine." So most of us, obviously in the UK, we get up when we're getting the kids ready for school, and then the day starts, and that's about it. And she said they get up so early, they do all of these lovely things, they meet friends, they have breakfast or they have a coffee, they go for a walk, they go for a swim, and then they start their day. And she said getting up so early, that lifestyle, it's a whole segment of the day that us in the UK in general, we don't have that kind of free time, do we? We're in bed or we're rushing around the house getting everybody ready for the day. And isn't that a lovely lifestyle? Well, nice.
Absolutely. And do you know, and that was the thing, it was just so relaxed. Everybody was lovely. I mean, everyone was just so lovely. It's one of those places where you go and you think, oh, I could live here. You know, like if I was younger, I'd have been off. If I was still in my 20s, I'd have gone and I'd have stayed. But yeah, it is a different lifestyle. And I think, you know, in some of the hotter months, which is like our winter is their summer, I think because it gets so hot during the day, you know, in the afternoon and stuff, that's why they all do the early morning routine. So it was lovely up there doing all of that. We went up into the hinterland as well, which is basically the inland. And that was lovely. And it reminded me, I mean, I live up in Yorkshire, up in Skipton in Yorkshire, and live near the Yorkshire Dales. And it reminded me of kind of that area, you know, it was really green. There was lots of sort of farmland, there was cattle, there was horses grazing, and you up in the hinterland, and it's just beautiful. It's really beautiful. So we went to one of the towns there and had lunch, did a little bit more wine tasting. And then we went to have a look at some of the like lodges and tree houses that you can stay in. So if people are wanting something like a little bit different for like a honeymoon or a special occasion, we went to three properties and they were all very different. But like to stay in a lodge in the middle of kind of nowhere in the hinterland, it was just beautiful, honestly, with all the greenery and all the lakes and around you. It was super. So yeah, so we did that. So that was our few days in Malula Bar. And then we went to Brisbane after that. So this was the last kind of night of our stay. So we drove to Brisbane, which is about an hour's drive from the Sunshine Coast, Malula Bar, from the beach into Brisbane, the city. And we went to the Lone Koala Sanctuary. Oh, so we went to a koala sanctuary. We got told a koala. It was all lovely, honestly.
Because they're all dopey and sleepy, aren't they? And
yeah, it was
docile and beautiful and calm and soft. Oh,
they're so cute. The babies are like about this big, and you know, and they're like on the mum's backs, and they're all up in like the eucalyptus trees and everything. But it's basically a sanctuary where they, I guess, where they go. You know, when they had the fires out there in Australia, and a lot of them were affected and things. So it's just superb what they do. There was loads of different wildlife there. There was kangaroos there. There was emu. There was a bit of everything. So that was such a lovely day to go there and see, you know, all of the wildlife, which again, you know, you don't get koalas and kangaroos anywhere else. You get them in Australia. You don't get them anywhere else. So it's amazing.
You're so right. You know, we don't have access to these beautiful creatures. So you have to go to the other side of the world, but just to have that little koala cuddle must have just been a dream come true.
Yeah, it was. It was lovely. It was so, so lovely. And then we did a nice little river cruise from the sanctuary down into the centre of Brisbane. So again, really relaxing, watching the scenery, having a glass of wine. And then we stayed in Brisbane overnight, which is a really fab city, really, really good city. We were right in the centre, you know, so there's plenty going on there, your restaurants, your shopping, your different sites. And then it was home time. And then we came home. So we did all that in a week. So, yeah.
Incredible. It was amazing. So obviously, it sounds like every destination that you've mentioned, you would be recommending to our listeners.
Yeah. Yes, for sure. Absolutely. You know, if somebody has never been before, that's a really good itinerary to do as well, because they see Sydney. Which has obviously got loads of the different sites that we all see on the telly, and we think, oh, I want to go to the Harbour Bridge, the Opera House, etc. You get the beach stay in there, and then you get to obviously go and see the wildlife, and you get the Hunter Valley as well with the wines. And there's some spectacular resorts up there. One evening we went out for dinner and to a Michelin-starred restaurant, and it was just it's just a different life, Hayley. It was just amazing, but it's not overlay as well. I don't think it's, you know, budget wise or money wise, there's something for everybody. Do you know what I mean? It's not the flight can pretty much be the sort of biggest expense really, for going out to Oz within the itinerary, but you can do all sorts, and people can you know, hire a camper van or a motorhome, because they've become really popular, haven't they, over the last few years, and they could drive up the coast, and they can do rail journeys from Sydney to from Perth to Sydney on the Indian Pacific train for sort of 5 days. And, you know, there's, so when you see these things on the telly, don't you? You see, I don't know, Joanna Lumley going across Australia and things, and you think, oh God, I really, really want to do that. You know, well, it's possible. We can package that together for everybody, you know.
Yeah, people think it's out of reach, don't they? But as you say, that's actually really interesting you touch upon that, because it is a bucket list destination for so many people. They probably assume it's that, as you said, a once in a lifetime, saving up for years, do it once, won't be able to do it again. And like, as you've said, from your experience, it can be done on more of a budget once you've covered the cost of the flights, which is the main sort of bulk of the expense, and so many different ways to see it. And the fact that actually you find people will go once and then they'll all go again, because they'll realise perhaps it's more accessible than they assume.
Yeah, absolutely. Honestly, it is. It's just fabulous. They drive on the same side of the road as us. You know, there's no language barriers. Everybody is just fantastic. Yeah, it is. Honestly, it's just amazing. It's an amazing place. You need to go for sure.
And how do you feel about when people say, "Oh, actually, I'm scared of the big spiders and the insects and things like that"? What was your experience of that? Or did you not even see anything?
No. And you know what was funny? So we went out with the group. I think there was about 12 of us, and pretty much everyone in the group, that's what they said. They were a bit like, oh, you know, I don't do big spiders, and have you got snakes and what have you? We didn't see anything. We didn't see anything at all, you know? And like the guides would say to you, well, it's like the UK, really, you know. It's like, you're not going to get a spider come and walk up to you and go, hi, I'm here. They kind of like, they live where they live. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
So it's like here, you know, I'm sure we've got all sorts everywhere in the UK, but yeah.
We don't, exactly. You know, they're not necessarily in your face or any kind of threat to you, but like you say, they're sort of tucked away, hidden away, and they're not interfering in your holiday experience in any way, or nothing to worry you or put you off travel. I think that's a little bit of a myth, isn't it?
Yeah. Wherever you go, I think in the world, well, wherever you go in the world, you know, Thailand, Australia, you're going to get these wildlife, aren't you? But I guess the locals kind of, they know about these things, don't they? So they can, you know, put everybody's mind at ease when you go and things. They find it quite funny, I think. I think they find it quite funny that we think that they've got all these scary things all over. But they don't.
And when you were over there, Nick, and from your experience, obviously, in the travel industry, what kind of, is there a particular person that Australia tends to appeal to, age groups, families, or is it really anyone and everyone?
I would say it's anyone and everyone, absolutely, because there's so much to offer and it's so different wherever you go. You've got the cities, you've got the beaches, there's, you know, if you went to Western Australia, you've got up there, you've got some fabulous beaches, you've got Rottnest Island, which is a little island sort of off the coast, which has the little quokka animals. I don't know how to describe them, but anyway, I'll let everybody Google those. But, you know, fabulous beaches, they've got the rivers, they've got Margaret River on the west coast, which is the wineland. You can do, if people are into walking, they can do walk the Cape to Cape track. It is something, it offers something for everybody, and you know, families, young children, obviously. Yeah, if you speak, the agent will speak to our reservations agents who have that experience, who will be able to give those different options, you know, of what will work for families or work for a couple, depending on what everybody wants to do. But no, absolutely, there's so much. There's the Great Barrier Reef. I keep forgetting about that. You know, you've got the north, you've got Cairns, you've got the Great Barrier Reef. You could do snorkeling up there, you can do the catamaran trips. You've got whale watching, whales and all the wildlife, honestly.
Incredible.
It's amazing.
Great destination for animal and nature lovers like myself. Nick, you have really set the scene for us. And as you say, it's such a vast country that, like you say, multiple trips probably are needed to see every inch of it. But very inspired by your itinerary, your suggestions, the variation in what you saw in just a week. That's the lovely thing about Australia, that it's so different in different areas. It offers so much variety in terms of landscapes, beaches, cities. It's just fantastic. So much to see, so much to do, so much to discover. And let's talk a little bit about the weather. So you were saying how it's the opposite to us, is it? When we're in summer, they're in winter.
Yes. So our winter is their summer. So it can get quite warm. I think kind of it starts from sort of November-ish time through to March. That will also generally be the most expensive time for you to get the flights out there. So if you're not bothered about it being really, really hot. You see, I'm not really into it being really warm. So May was perfect for us because it's kind of classed as low mid-season. The flight prices were great. And weather-wise, I would probably say that it was mid-20s. It was nice. It was just really, really nice and pleasant, which was great because we could do all of those things and it wasn't too hot, you know. So probably, I mean, everybody's different, aren't they? Some people really, really like hot weather. But if you do go, I guess, kind of from sort of April onwards through our summer, then yeah, you know, it can be a bit cooler. They'll obviously get rain as we do. I think, again, because it's such a big destination, it's such a huge area, it can be very different in one area to another, you know, as to what the weather's doing. Because they do have rainforests out there, up certainly in the Northern Territories, you know. So again, the rainforests, they're gonna have perhaps a little bit more rain. But you know, and humidity varies, I would guess, at, you know, different times of year. But it is, I would say, it's pretty much an all-round destination, really.
Brilliant.
Weather-wise, you know.
And I think as long as you know that, and as long as you're prepared, and like you say, you might have a little bit of rain, cool you down one day, and then move on to the next area, and then you're in full sunshine. But to take advantage of those more affordable flight times, consider if, as you say, if you're not someone that is desperate for the real intense heat, a lot of us don't actually like that, then those low temperatures in the low 20s, really pleasant, because you still get that break from the UK weather and the lovely sunshine, but you can do things without getting too sweaty, too hot. So that's actually a really top tip to look at traveling out of the peak season and take advantage of those lower flights prices as well.
Yeah. I think the first time that I went, when we went up to Uluru and we did a camping trip, because we were out there and it was in their summer, it was kind of pushing, it was 50 degrees, you know, and because it's the red center and the heat absorbs into the red center, you know, the sand, it didn't really pretty much change temperature wise on a night in the day, and we were camping out in it. It was very, very hot. So, you know, it's, yeah, I mean, yeah, it's, I guess people can check the weather on Google. We can't promise anything these days with weather, can we? But unfortunately, but it's a good option. The other thing that I've not mentioned, Hayley, which is a really good thing that people can do, is cruising from there. So, you know, if they wanted to go out and do like a land-based day and then do a cruise from Sydney, maybe, and go sort of up and around, stopping at different destinations, and then they're on a cruise ship as well, getting all those facilities, but they're seeing a bit more of each destination, because you'd stop for a day in each area, wouldn't you? And also they can, the cruises go over to like New Zealand, so you can start in Oz and do some ground-based things like the hotel stays and the Indian Pacific train, and then you can go over, you know, do your cruise around with your cruise company if people want to do that. And they're really good value for money, actually, doing something such as that. I think at the minute we've got a 21-night one, which does all of that with an 11-night cruise. And it's sort of $6,999 per person, which is really good for what you're getting for 3 weeks.
That is a very, very good price. I've never considered, Nick, that you can have a cruise around Australia. That's such a good idea, as you say, because if you are someone that maybe you're not a real huge fan of flying and you're not that keen on sort of seeing so much because you've got to do all the different flights and things like that, what a brilliant idea to do a cruise.
I know.
That's a fantastic idea. I'd never even realised that was an option. I think that will really appeal to a lot of people who like the comfort of having their own cabin and their own space and not sort of having to check in and out of lots of different hotels. That's not for everybody, is it? Some of us love it, don't we? You love the variety. And when you say something for everyone who like that familiar sort of safe space on the cruise where you feel really comfortable, you feel really settled, and you're not sort of repacking and moving all the time, a cruise is a great option. What a lovely idea. What a nice thing to do.
It is. And they also do, for the more adventurous, they do quite a lot of expedition type cruising as well, up kind of in upper sort of, I guess it's the sort of top northwest of the area up by Broome. And, you know, so you do kind of the western coast into Perth, and then you can go up the top there and do some of the expedition cruising, you know, to see the wildlife and to see the whales and what have you up that area where it's totally unspoiled. So some people, you know, so it is, it's just a destination that offers something for everybody. Oh, for sure.
It is magical. Oh, Nick, your passion for Australia and your knowledge is crystal clear. So thank you so, so much for joining us on the podcast. And remember, you can just contact your Not Just Travel agent, who obviously work really closely with Nick and the team at Gold Medal, to help build your dream holiday in Australia. And as Nick's described, that can be whatever it looks like for you, whatever your dream is, it can be tailored to be a million different things. And that's where the expertise of Not Just Travel, working with our incredible suppliers like Gold Medal, really come in. And because for people, they might think, wow, I've listened to this, I want to go, but where do I start? And that's where our teams work together to help build that dream holiday Australia experience exactly the way that you want to experience it, and of course inspire you, give you all of these ideas, give you these incredible deals and offers, and inform you about all of these tips to help you build that dream holiday. So Nick, thank you so, so much. It's been so lovely to chat to you.
Oh, good. Thanks, Hayley.
And thank you so much for listening. I really hope you have been inspired by this latest episode of the Travel Podcast. It'd be so lovely if you could rate, review, subscribe, and share this with your friends. Thanks again. I've been Hayley Sparks, and I will see you next week.